So it's a good day here at Gwinnett Church. If it's your first time, we're really glad that you're here. You picked a great time to join us because today we're kicking off a brand new teaching series. And so for the next few weeks, I'll just kind of let you know where we're going. We're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks what it is that Jesus talked about more than anything else in his life and in his ministry. And before today, if I were to ask you that, like, what do you think that is? What is it that Jesus talked about more than anything else in his life and in his ministry? If I were to ask you that, or if I were to pass the microphone, which I will never do, but like, I know it's not you, it's just you. And so if I were to ask you what it is that Jesus talked about most, I'd get probably some different answers. I think a lot of us would probably say something like love. Like, yeah, that was the main message of Jesus, right? It's love. It's, you know, Jesus would say, love God, love people, love your neighbor, just as you love yourself. He would say, love your enemies. He's like, you know, love should be the defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus. It's how the whole world is going to know that you're my followers by how you love one another, right? Like that sounds right. It's probably love. Love was probably the main message of Jesus. Still others of you, though, you go, no, it's not just love, it's forgiveness, right? Some of you would go, no, that's the main message of Jesus, right? Like, Reed, don't you know anything about the cross? It's where Jesus died to forgive our sins, right? And so his message was forgiveness. As he said, you know, hey, I want you to forgive others as God has forgiven you. And if you want God to forgive your sins, then you too have to go and forgive sins. And if you find yourself at the altar and you're about to give a sacrifice, but you've done somebody wrong and you need to either ask for forgiveness or extend forgiveness, you need to go and do that, right? Like, so Jesus is talking a lot about forgiveness. And what about that one time when Peter asked, hey, how many times should we forgive people, Jesus? Like seven? And Jesus was like, no, 70 times seven, to which Peter was like, right? Like, and so like that's gotta be it, right? That's the main message of Jesus, right? It's forgiveness. Still others of you would go, no, it's service and sacrifice, right? Like, that's what Jesus was all about. That was his main message. As a, there's plenty of times where Jesus, don't you remember Jesus teaching and saying, hey, the last, they're actually going to be first. And if you want to be great in my kingdom, the great ones, they serve and they lay their lives down for others. They put others' needs above their own, right? Like, if you want to be one of my followers, you have to die to yourself. You have to carry your cross and follow me. If you want to find life, right, then you have to lose it. And so, you know, some of us would go, no, it's service, it's sacrifice. Like, that's the main message of Jesus, Reed. Still others of you might say, you know, depending on what church background you come from, you'd be like, no, I know the main message of Jesus. I've been to church enough times. It's money, right? Like, you would say it's money. Exactly. Some of you chuckle because you're like, I knew he was going to say that. And so, like, so some of you would say, depending on your church background, you go, hey, like, the main message, like, I've heard it again and again and again. Jesus talked about money all the time. You remember, read the teachings of Jesus, where Jesus would say, hey, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. And Jesus would say, hey, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so Jesus would say, hey, you want to know what really matters to you? He says, check your bank account. What are you spending your money on? That will reveal what's most important to you, right? That's the message. That was one of the main messages of Jesus. Still others of you would go, no. The main message of Jesus is heaven and hell, right? It's what happens when you die. That's the main message of Jesus. If I'm being honest with you, like, when I was growing up, that's what I assumed the main message of Jesus was, that it was all about heaven and hell and where you go when you die, because whenever my friends would invite me to church, that's what the pastor did. And it used to scare the, out of me. You know what I mean? Like, I can remember one time, you guys, this, I didn't even say this in the first service, but one time I was at a friend's church and they invited me because they said there was going to be inflatables and pretty girls and free food. And I was like, oh, sounds amazing. What is this called? And he was like, it's called church. And I was like, oh. And so I remember I went, and when I got there, this guy, he starts preaching about heaven and hell and where are you going to go And I was so scared, I went and sat in the bathroom for 30 minutes. And everybody was like, dude, is he okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. And I'm not coming out of that bathroom, right? Like, and so heaven and hell, maybe that's what some of you, like, that's the main message of Jesus. It's all about where are you gonna go when you die, right? And now, you guys, all of those are things, what we just mentioned, all of those are things that Jesus talked about. Those are all things that Jesus did preach on, that he spent time with, that he emphasized. Those are all important teachings of Jesus that you could find throughout the Gospels, which are just the biographical accounts of the life of Jesus in your New Testament of your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you go read them, you'll see Jesus teaches on all of those things, on love, on forgiveness. He talks about service and sacrifice. Yeah, he talks about money and heaven and hell and prayer and all these other things. Right? He talked about all of these other things, but it might surprise you to know that none of those things is the central message in the life and teaching of Jesus. The main message, the one that's repeated over and over and over again, that's emphasized by Jesus in his life and in his teachings, the message in which all of those other topics like flow out of, the main message of Jesus, if you were to follow his life and his teachings through the Gospels, the main message of Jesus is this right here. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. This was the main, this was the central teaching, the primary message of Jesus. It's what he emphasized, it's what he prioritized, it's what he repeated, it's what he made analogies and parables and illustrations and tried to give people word pictures about. Like, he talked about it all the time in every city that he went to, whether he was standing on a mountain or sitting around a fire, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, if you were to go and do the count, which you don't have to, I did it for you. That's what I got paid to do all week, was count how many times he says kingdom. And so, but Jesus actually says in the Gospels, 126 times he references the kingdom. It's by far more than any other subject that he covers. He mentions the kingdom 126 times in the Gospel of Matthew alone, which the point of the Gospel of Matthew is to emphasize that Jesus is king. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, Jesus mentions it over 50 times. And then you see the kingdom is also referenced when people are talking about Jesus's message and quoting Jesus later in the letters that Paul would write to the churches. In letters that John would write, Jesus is one of Jesus's closest friend, Peter also, they would reference this idea of kingdom another 30 to 40 times in their letters. They talk about the kingdom. And so all throughout, right, Jesus's life and teaching, this was the central message. It's the one that gets repeated the most, emphasized the most. It's the one that all the other messages about love and forgiveness and service and sacrifice, all that flows out of this teaching of the kingdom of God. You also would see it if you read in your New Testaments. It's also called the kingdom of heaven. When you see those two things, they're not two different things. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are synonymous. This is like the same, and the gospel writers use them interchangeably, but it's the same idea. And so this is the thing that Jesus talks about often, frequently, with emphasis, with passion. He talks about it all the time. And yet, if I can be honest with you, a lot of times, right, while that is what Jesus talked about most, it does not get a lot of airplay in our churches. And I'm confessing, like, I don't talk about it that much either. And the reason why, if I can just be totally honest with you, I'm going to, I have the microphone. But like, the reason why we don't talk about it a lot, one is on the surface, it's not like, it doesn't seem as exciting to talk about, right? Like preachers, we wanna be able to talk about like blessing and breakthrough. And we wanna talk about like purpose and identity and your relationships. And then if we really want to like pack the seats, we're like, we're going to talk about sex. You know what I mean? Like, and so that's like, that's what a lot of times we want to talk about are all the different things, you know, all the different topics. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But that's where a lot of times we tend to drift in our teaching where we want to go. We don't want to talk about the kingdom, because the kingdom, you guys, if I'm just, again, I'm being transparent, parent, I've been thinking about this for weeks now. Why is it that was the most important thing to Jesus, but it doesn't end up being the most important thing to us? I think part of it is it doesn't seem cool on the surface. I think another reason why, though, is that when we start talking about the kingdom, like, we don't really have like a, we don't have like an experience or a context for kingdom, do we? Like, unless you're from the United Kingdom, you know, like, yeah, which, hello, top of the morning, you know what I mean? Like, and so, like unless you're from the United Kingdom or you're from the United Arab Emirates, you know what I mean? Like you don't have a context for kingdom. Like in 2024 here in the United States, right, we said bye-bye to kingdoms like almost 300 years ago, you know? We were like, we can't be ruled, you know? And so we were like, no, we're in a democracy. So we don't even have like a context or an experience of kingdom for most of us when we think about a kingdom, right? Like it's something that we read about in history books, Or in our fairy tales, or on our TV shows, right? Like for a lot of us, when we think about kingdom, we think about castles and moats and like knights and dragons and maybe a princess in a tower, or we think about a Disney movie, or you think about Lord of the Rings, or the less sanctified Game of Thrones. You know what I mean, like. So you think about different things like that. Those are the kinds of things that come to mind when you're thinking about the kingdom, but we don't have a context for it for us. And what does it look like to actually like experience that? And so a lot of times we don't talk about it. And yet it remains, you guys, the thing that Jesus talked about, emphasized, and preached about the most. And when Jesus would talk about it, right, he would claim that this kingdom has the power and the potential to transform lives here and now, to transform communities here and now, and to shape our future both now and forever. And so it's a really, really big deal to Jesus, this kingdom of God. And so if we're gonna really understand what it is that Jesus had to say, what it is that Jesus has to offer, and what difference it might make, right? Like we gotta understand this thing, the kingdom. And now Jesus would talk about it in a number of ways. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to hear what it is that Jesus had to say about the kingdom. Look, when Jesus talked about the kingdom, he would say things like this. It says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving because the day before Jesus had been performing miracles and he'd been healing people. And so they don't want him to leave because they've been experiencing all this goodness flowing through and from Jesus. And it says, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Now that word must right there is important, right? Because he's going like, I have to do this. I am compelled to do this. If I don't do this, it's like I'm gonna burst, right? It's like when I tell my 8-year-old, like, hold on one sec, dad's talking, he's like, like, must interrupt, you know what I mean? Like, and like Jesus is going, like, I'm compelled. I gotta talk about this. He says, I must go proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also. He says, because that is why I was sent. Jesus says, hey, look, like I've got to talk about this kingdom of God because it's actually the reason why I was sent. Like, but I thought the reason why he was sent was to die on the cross. Yes, that's a part of this. Well, I thought the reason why he was sent was to show us what God is like. Yes, that's a part of this. He says, but according to Jesus, from his mouth, he says, the reason why I was sent is I have to proclaim this good news of the kingdom. And he'll go on, right? In talking about the kingdom, he'll say what happens when he does talk about the kingdom. This is what he says. It says, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John, meaning, hey, until John the Baptist showed up on the scene, the law and the prophets were the message to God's people. He says, but now there's this new message that's entered in. He says, since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. And everyone is forcing their way into it. Jesus says, hey, everywhere I'm taking this good news of the kingdom, when I'm talking about it, I'm compelled to tell everybody. And as I tell people about the kingdom, as I lift up the kingdom, as I preach the message of the kingdom, he's like, man, people are flocking to get in on it. They are clamoring to get in on it. That's what he means when he says people are forcing their way into it. He's like, they want to be a part of this. This kingdom, because it's that good of news. When he's trying to describe it to people, right? Jesus would say things like, and if you've read it in your Bibles on your own, you've heard him use these analogies. He would say, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. which a man took and planted in his field. And though it's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Jesus says, look, I got this message that I've been sent to talk about. It's this kingdom. People are clamoring to be a part of it. And I'm telling you, he's like, it's like a seed. It's like this small thing that once it like gets into your life, right? Then all of a sudden it bears fruit. It grows up. It gets bigger. It transforms things, right? It's just that it's a small step of obedience. It's a small step of faith. It's a small act of kindness. It's a small act of generosity. It's a small step towards God. And he says, and that small step then roots into your life and it grows and it multiplies and it transforms you and it transforms those around you. He says, this is this kingdom. He'll go on to say, not only is it this thing that has like humble beginnings, but grows and spreads. He says, the kingdom of heaven, again, it's like treasure hidden in a field. He says, when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought the field. He says, this kingdom that I'm like so compelled to go and like share and to talk about. He's like, this kingdom that is my main message. He's like, not only is it like have these humble beginnings and it grows and transforms, but he's like, it's valuable. It's like buried treasure. He's like, it's like buried treasure. You didn't know you needed it until you found it. And now that you've found it, you realize it's all you need. He's like, that's what this kingdom is like. You didn't even know you needed this thing. And then you heard it. I uplifted it. I preached it. I shared it. And when you got a glimpse of it, you realize it's the only thing I need. And so it's worth fully committing to. It's worth fully embracing. It's worth giving up everything for. He says, this is what it's like. And because of its value and its power and its potential, Jesus would tell his followers about the kingdom. Look, he would say, seek first his kingdom. He would say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? Well, when Jesus preached that, he was talking in the context of what people worry about, what they spend their time on, what they spend their money on, what consumes their thoughts and their energy and their effort and their calendar. And Jesus would go, hey, look, to his followers, he would say, look, the kingdom has gotta be your priority. And if the kingdom is your priority, if it's your first pursuit, if it's your focus, he's like, then everything else, all that other stuff you're worried about, all that other stuff that's been consuming your thoughts and your attention and your time, he's like, that's gonna fall into place and it's gonna work its way out and it's gonna be aligned. He's like, but seek first the kingdom. It's the most important thing. And then when asked what it's like, what the kingdom is like, he would say, my kingdom, it's not of this world. He said, if it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom, it's from another place. When people were asking, okay, well, Jesus, you seem to be making a big deal about this kingdom. Like, where do we look for it? What's it look like? Where is it at? Where's your castle, right? He's like, where's that? Jesus would reply and he says, hey, it's not like any kingdom you've ever read about. It's not like any kingdom you've ever experienced. It's not a kingdom that has borders. It's not a kingdom with a common language. It's not a kingdom that has a single culture. He's like, man, it supersedes all cultures. It supersedes races. It supersedes regions. It supersedes classes. He's like, all of that. It's beyond all of that. It's different. It's not like any kingdom you've ever seen or experienced or heard about. He says, it's different. And so you can see, you guys, that's just a smattering of verses. Again, 126 times he's gonna talk about this, like this. You can see though, that the kingdom of God is a big deal to Jesus. It's his primary message. It's the center of his teaching. It's the thing that he talked about all the time. And he repeatedly offers up, invites, explains to others. So I think it's important for us, if we're going to understand Jesus, if we're going to understand what he taught, what he offered, and what it looks like to follow him, then we have to understand this message of the kingdom. And so today in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what does it look like to participate in God's kingdom? What does it look like to be people that live in his kingdom? And what does it look like to extend and invite others to participate in the kingdom? But for today, you guys, we got to lay some groundwork and we've got to answer this question. This is what we're going to talk about with the remaining time that we have together today. We're going to answer this question right here. What is the kingdom of God? If this is the central theme of Jesus's teaching, if this is his main message, if this is the thing that he says, I was sent here to proclaim this, then we got to understand what is the kingdom of God? This is an important question for us to ask. It's a question that followers and seekers and skeptics have had to wrestle with for generations. And so we're gonna talk about that today. And in order to help us to answer that question, what is the kingdom of God and why does it matter? Does it make a difference in my life here and now? I want to point out to you four observations about it. Four characteristics about the kingdom that we see that help us to understand what it is so that if we can get it, then we can get in on it. And so four aspects of the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the first thing that you need to understand about the kingdom of God is this right here. It is a realm of divine rule. Now, I know that some of you just went, you know what I mean? Like a realm of divine rule. I know, stay with me. I thought really, like I was thinking about this week when I was writing this and I was like, is there like a cooler way to say that? And I'm like, no, I'm just gonna have to explain it to you because listen, this is important in understanding the kingdom. It is a realm of divine rule. And when I say that, I mean this, let me explain. Every kingdom has a what? A king, a ruler. Yeah, some of you. Yeah, very 2024, right? Could be a queen. Elizabeth, come on, shout out. You know, like could be a queen, right? But every kingdom has a king, a queen, a ruler, right? Somebody who's in charge. Every kingdom has a ruler. Someone who's in charge, someone who sets the standards. Someone whose will is to be followed, someone who makes the rules, someone who exacts justice, somebody who creates the culture, right? Every kingdom has a ruler, has a king. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, while Jesus said it's different than any other kingdom, in this aspect, it's very much the same to all other kingdoms in that the kingdom of God is where God is king. The kingdom of God is wherever God rules and reigns. The kingdom of God is where God's will is enacted and his ways are obeyed, right? Like that is the kingdom of God. Wherever that happens. And so that could be in a life, that could be in a family, that could be in a church. Wherever God's will and ways are lived out, wherever God reigns and rules, that's where the kingdom is. That's where the kingdom is. And now, some of you may be asking, I thought about this week, well, why is that such a good thing? Or why is that a good thing? For God to reign and rule in my life or in the world? And the reason why some of you might ask that this morning, the reason why you may be a little skeptical about that idea is because maybe you've seen people who claim to be following Jesus, who claim to be walking in his will or carrying out his ways, and yet you've seen them do awful things in the name of Jesus. You've seen them take advantage of people, hurt people, disenfranchise people, all in the name of growing his kingdom. Some of you in here, you have been hurt or taken advantage of or turned off by somebody who claimed to be following Jesus, walking in his will and his ways and spreading his kingdom. And for that, I just want to say, I am deeply sorry. We don't always get this right. And there are people who do what I do and they claim to be building God's kingdom. But I'm just telling you, they're building a kingdom, but it's not his. And there are people who do what I do, who have gotten it wrong and have gotten it mixed up, and they have used the name of Jesus and the fame of Jesus and the credibility of Jesus and the authority of Jesus to build a kingdom, but it was not God's. And so I understand the skepticism, and I understand the question of like, is that a good thing? But the good news is that when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus would say, hey, when you look at me, you see a life that is fully submitted and committed to God. If you wanna know what a life looks like where God is fully reigning and ruling, look at Jesus. And what you will see in the life of Jesus is what happens when the kingdom is a reality in somebody's life. When God is reigning and ruling in their heart, when God is reigning and ruling in their actions. What you'll see in the life of Jesus is that what you see in the life of Jesus is somebody whose life and actions were motivated by love. What you see in the life of Jesus is somebody whose decisions were marked by wisdom and justice and mercy. What you see in the life of Jesus is somebody who created communities of grace. What you see in the life of Jesus is somebody whose relationships were marked by grace and forgiveness. What you see in the life of Jesus is somebody who treated everybody he encountered with dignity and respect because they bore the image of his Father in heaven, regardless of who they were or where they were from. Don't we need more of that? That, according to Jesus, that's the kingdom of God. When God reigns and rules in a life, when God's will is enacted and his ways are followed, that's what it looks like. That's the kingdom, right? So it's a realm of divine rule. It's God reigning and ruling in our lives and through our lives and the world around us. But it's also, it's not just a realm of divine rule, but that leads to this. To understand the kingdom, you need to understand that the kingdom is a way of life. That the kingdom is not so much about a location, but rather a lifestyle, right? That when Jesus would talk about the kingdom, he would say, hey, when God is reigning and ruling in your life, it leads to life change and transformation. And so your life begins to look different. It's evidenced by, and you begin to look like Jesus. And so when the kingdom is in your life, he says it changes the way that you live and the way that you treat people. It changes the way that you interact with others. It changes all of your relationships and your social dynamics. He's like, man, like when you're walking in the way of Jesus, when the kingdom has come into your life, he's like, man, it's turn the other cheek. It's put others first. When you're walking in the way of Jesus, it's humility. It's humility over, I wrote it this way. It's humility over pride, it's service over status, it's others over self, it's calling over comfort, it's conviction over conformity, and it's peace over conflict. This is the way of life in the kingdom. This is the way of life that's full of purpose and meaning and is truly satisfying. And so the kingdom, if we're to understand it, it's God's reign and rule in our life that leads us to a way of life. But that way of life is not just for us as individuals, right? If we're gonna understand the kingdom, we also need to understand that the kingdom is also a community of grace. See, the kingdom of God is not just about your personal salvation and transformation, right? But instead, it's about planting yourself in community and in relationship with other people who have submitted their life to Jesus's reign and rule and are committed to helping one another to live this thing out day in and day out for the good of others and for the transformation, the tangible impact of the world around them. And so it's a community of grace. It's something that Jesus would often talk about, a community submitted, committed to loving, supporting, challenging, and encouraging one another to follow him and together to make a tangible difference in the world. He called this community the church, you guys, his ecclesia. You've heard Andy talk about this. And by the power of his Spirit at work in us and in our midst, we are, and we get to show the world a glimpse of what it looks like to be in God's kingdom. So it's God's reign and rule. It's a way of life. It's a community of grace where we love, support, encourage, and challenge each other to continue to walk in the way of Jesus. And then finally, you guys, when Jesus would talk about the kingdom, he talked about it as a future hope. So it's something that we experience here and now. And yet at the same time, when Jesus would talk about it, he would tell his followers, he would say, also though, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And he would talk about the kingdom coming in the future as an event. And Jesus thought of the kingdom, it carries with it a vision and a hope for the future, which we are all invited to embrace and experience here and now, but also we look forward to and anticipate the time when Jesus will return and God's reign and rule will be fully and finally realized, you guys. This is a day that we long for, we look forward to, and we get glimpses of it in the here and now as we live out God's kingdom, right? We get glimpses of his healing, of renewal, of justice, of peace, but we just get glimpses right now, but we look forward to the day when Jesus will return and it will be fully and finally realized in our midst. The gospel writer John, one of the self-proclaimed best friends of Jesus, he actually called himself the one who Jesus loved, so he lacked no confidence. John, later as an old man, exiled on an island for bringing the kingdom wherever he went and talking about that same message, was exiled to an island. And while he was on that island, Jesus gave him a glimpse of the future that would come. And John records this vision, this future hope that we have, this coming kingdom, right? That we get glimpses of here and now in our midst, but because we're imperfect, the glimpses aren't complete. But this day that we look forward to when Jesus will return and fully and finally bring in the kingdom. And this is what John would write. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Everything that we know, that's gone. He says, now there's something new. "And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne says, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down. Write it down, John, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And by his grace and by his goodness, God has preserved these words for generations so that now we get a glimpse of that future hope of the coming kingdom, a day that we look forward to where sickness and pain and death will be no more, wrongs will be set right, justice will come, peace will come and reign. This is the kingdom. And when we get that vision, that hope for the future, it helps us to endure and to persevere in the presence, knowing that even though we will face trials and setbacks and failure and loss, we know that there is coming a day when all will be made new and all will be made right. This is the kingdom that Jesus talked about. It's the kingdom that he talked about. It's his plan for how we're to live here and now. And it's his promise for how things will one day ultimately be. It's what he preached, you guys, consistently. It's what he died to make available. It's what he resurrected to invite us into. And it's what he offers the Spirit to empower us to actually live and spread and share. right? The kingdom of God. And where this kingdom is preached and where this kingdom is lifted up and where it is embraced, you guys, it makes all the difference in the world. Where this kingdom is embraced, we find in our lives a leader, a king worth following. When we embrace this kingdom, we find a way of life that works and is satisfying and fulfilling and full of purpose and meaning that we've all been looking for. Where this kingdom is preached and where it's embraced, you guys, we find a community where we can belong and be supported and encouraged and challenged and grown and transformed. Where this kingdom is preached, we find hope for our future and for all of eternity. This is the kingdom. This is the message of Jesus. This is what he says he was sent to proclaim and to offer. And where this message is embraced and preached, you guys, you've heard Andy say this before, lives are better. Families are better. Communities are better. Cities are better. Our nation is better. Kingdom come in our lives and in our world on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So the question that maybe some of you are asking is, Reed, how do I get in on the kingdom? How do I get in on that? Do I just like start being a good person? Like, how do I get in on the kingdom? Do I just read some Bible verses and try to live them out? Like how do I get in on the kingdom? Is there an entrance exam? Do I gotta clean myself up? Do I gotta just do better? How do we get in on this kingdom here and now? And how can I have that hope that it seems the gospel writer John had? How do I get in on the kingdom? Jesus would tell us. He would say this, and I'll close. He would say at the beginning of his ministry in the Gospel of Mark, he says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Meaning in your midst, it's present, it's here because I'm here, and where the king is, the kingdom is. And he would say, repent and believe the good news. You wanna know how to get in on the kingdom? You wanna know how God's reign and rule enters our lives and how we enter into a new way of life and we're transformed? You wanna know how to get into a community where people are encouraging you to grow and to transform? You wanna know how to have the hope of the future that these guys had? You wanna know how to have that? Jesus says it's simple, repent and believe. You don't gotta do better. You don't gotta try harder. That's not the way in. That's not the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that if you will repent, turn and believe, trust, if you will turn and trust in Jesus, that's your entrance. That's your ticket in. That's the entryway in. It's turning and trusting. It's going, hey, you know what? My old way of living was not working. Building my own little kingdom was not working. I'm gonna turn and I'm gonna embrace your way, Jesus, and I'm gonna trust. I'm gonna trust that you are the Son of God, you are the Savior of the world, and that you are my King. And if you will turn and trust, you guys, then the kingdom will enter into your life. And just like that mustard seed, it will take root and it will grow and you will transform and it will change your life and it will change the life of those around you. And it will be impactful. That is the promise of Jesus. So, some of you today, you need to make that decision. I'm not gonna bow heads and close eyes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but today, we're gonna sing a song here in a moment, and if during that song you wanna make that decision, you can make that decision. You can say, Jesus, I turn from my way, I trust in you, like let the kingdom enter my life. That's what I want. You can invite him in, and the king will enter into your life and begin a transformation. And you will begin to see and experience the kingdom. You can do that. If you want to talk to somebody afterwards, I'll be down here. Some of the worship leaders will be down here. You can come and talk to us. You can find somebody in a Four Gwinnett shirt. They didn't know I was going to say that. So volunteers, good luck. And so you live in the kingdom. You can tell people about it. And so you can find somebody in a Four Gwinnett shirt and you can talk to them about what that looks like. That would be amazing. For the rest of us, church, for the rest of us, for those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, my prayer for us is simply this. Gwinnett Church, may we be faithful witnesses to the reality of God's kingdom here and now. And through our lives, as we live it out, May we give others a glimpse of what is to come in and through our lives. Father, would your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Church, we're going to worship together one last time. And if you need to make that decision, you can make that decision for the rest of us. Let's celebrate and worship King Jesus together as we close out our time.
Our God.